I mentioned last week that the reason I've been talking so much about the Holy Spirit is because I want you to experience the life of the Spirit. You won't really enjoy your faith until you do. But when you live the life of the Spirit, exciting things begin to happen. Interesting things begin to happen. Sometimes what I used to call weird things begin to happen. And you have so much more peace and stability in your life, even if your outward circumstances seem to be up and down and in and out. God gives you a constancy in your heart and in your spirit, and He gives you rest. How many of you coming here into the end of summer could use some rest? See, I see the way things are here in upstate New York. You wear each other out in the summer because you've got to put all of your living into just a few short months. And you wear yourself out saying, well, I'll push all the way through because winter is coming, but then winter does come and you wear yourself out with the winter too. So you're hardy, you're tough, you're able to press on through. But there are just things that come into our lives, that God allows into our lives, that can be taxing, that would wear you down. And so we need the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, it's not just the strength and the underpinning that He provides in our lives. He's able to put joy into your heart and that zest for living that life itself sometimes has a way of drawing out of you. How many of you have experienced the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is my strength. We have a song like that, right? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is not simply happiness that comes and goes, that arrives with good circumstances and it goes right back out the door when enough adversity comes, but the joy of the Lord is constant. And so a number of you have been praying. You want to live the life of the Spirit. A number of you have let me know that you have prayed that the Holy Spirit would have His way in your life and that you would receive the filling of the Spirit. And I praise God for that. I think that God, of course, will never let you down. But I want to read to you just a few words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that are very, very much related to that desire of having the life of the Holy Spirit continually and constantly within you. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, verse 16. Rejoice always. There are some tough verses in Scripture. Have any of you noticed that? Have any of you ever felt when you read a passage of the Bible that you flunk in that area? You feel as if you got your report card from God. Sometimes it would have a great big F at the top of the paper, and it would be underlined two or three times, and maybe it would say, have a personal note like, try harder, do better next time. No, that's not God. That's a fifth grade teacher. God understands your weakness and He understands your circumstance that sometimes can cause a lot of humility in your life. It can humble you. And He loves you anyway. Rejoice always. So how would you write it? rejoice once in a while. Celebrate once in a while. Feel great about life once in a while. The colonel's already got an answer at the tip of his tongue. It does not say that. Rejoice always. Now, let's be honest before God and before each other. Wouldn't you feel more comfortable sometimes if it said, rejoice sometimes? Because I can look at that and I can think, I ought to do better than what I do. Rejoice always. Rejoice when the washing machine breaks down and the car won't start and you have 5 feet of snow on the ground. You go outside to start the snow blower. This has happened to me. You give the rope a great big pull, and then you have half the rope hanging in your hand. You've experienced things like that too. And so some of you, like me, wish that the Bible actually might be written a hair differently. Rejoice sometimes. But it isn't. It says, rejoice always. Well, that's written in the imperative sense. It's a command of God. Rejoice always. What would your question to God be if you had one? How? How? How am I to rejoice always? Does God with you sometimes have a way of bringing about his word, just pulling it into your mind at exactly the right time, and yet it's at exactly the wrong time too? Like you're storming around the house. Maybe you never do this. You're storming around. You're upset. Some word has come. You got an email. You got a text. You got a phone call. Something has happened, and you're not happy with that. And God says in his quiet voice, rejoice always. And you say, how? Lord, I'd be happy to if you would tell me how. That's happened with you, right? How? Well, he tells us. How? Pray continually. That's a fun one with high school kids usually. They'll come and they'll say, now how does God mean this exactly when he says pray continually? Does he mean that he wants me to have my eyes closed while I'm driving down the road? You want to say, well, sometimes when I ride with you, I think your eyes are closed as you drive down the road. Pray continually, and once again, you find yourself feeling like, I don't do quite so well. I'd like to do better. Okay, pray continually. How? Give thanks in all circumstances. How? You imagine that. Imagine now that you were a state representative and your work is in Albany. And you would go to the state capitol and all the things that got done in state capitals would be taking place. Someone said years ago that there were two things that you never wanted to actually see being made. One was sausage, the other are laws. And you would have constituents writing to you angry letters, threatening letters. The issue is before the people. and you must either vote yes or you must vote no. And the letters all arrive that say, vote yes, or else, or else, or else. We will withdraw your funding. They may not even give anything, but it sounds good. We'll withdraw our political support. We'll withdraw our offer of a spot sitting on the board of directors of a Fortune 500 company when you leave office. Threatening, harsh. Vote no or else. Vote yes, vote no, vote yes, vote no. Up, down, in, out. You have decisions to make every day of your life. Give thanks in all circumstances. Lord, I thank you that they are putting great pressure to bear on me. I thank you that I feel that I'm between a rock and a hard place. I thank you, Lord, for the fact that I can see my future is going out the window and my hopes and ambitions are dying. Thank you, God, for this circumstance. And you wonder how you might pray that with sincerity. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you. Maintaining a continual state of prayerfulness is the key to my ability to remain joyful and thankful. There's a connectedness, you see, between these three things. They're not simply three unconnected things, all of which comprise a task list for us. There are three things that are integrally working together. And if I do not do all three things, I probably cannot do any of these three things. I'd like in your mind now for a moment to just envision a three-legged stool. You've seen them, sat in them, and you're aware of what happens when one leg goes. All of it goes. A three-legged stool, it requires that you have all three legs. And this series of verses with these three things require that we have all three. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, which is another way of saying give thanks continually, give thanks for all. And so the three things being interconnected, we have to find the key. But I believe personally that prayerfulness is the key. A continual state of prayerfulness. How important those attitudes of the mind and heart are. How many of you expect that tomorrow you're going to need joy? How many of you believe that tomorrow, which has, of course, an agenda that you are aware of and an agenda that you are not aware of, that tomorrow is going to require that you would pray continually and give you the opportunity of giving thanks in all circumstances? You see, we already know it about tomorrow because we know it about today. We know it about yesterday. We can look back at yesterday and say, how did I do? We can look forward to tomorrow and say, how will I do? To pray continually means that God can often be present with me below the level of my consciousness. I believe that God is just always here. I have no doubt about that. The older I've gotten, the more I recognize what we would call, I guess, theologically, the immanence of God. He's not somewhere else. He's not a long way off. He's not out there somewhere. God, through the Holy Spirit, is within me. He's right here. Now, one thing I'm pretty sure of, in all the days of my life, and I'd have to do the math, that's somewhere over between 21 and 22,000 days I've been alive now. In every one of those days, my heart has been in my chest. I've not yet had my heart out. Oh, my dad could be graphic when he talked about his bypass. Oh, one thing, my dad had a tremendous ability to envision things, and it didn't always serve him well. He was talking to me after he had his quadruple bypass, and I quote, "John, they took my heart out of my chest and sat it right down on a steel table." Wow. That must have been an experience. I haven't had it. Someone here has. I haven't. They have not yet done that, so my heart has been with me every day of my life, and my liver and my lungs and all of my other organs, to my knowledge, have been within me, but since the day I received Christ. The Holy Spirit has been within me every day of my life, every moment of every day. Now, here's the way we act sometimes. We act as if he comes and goes. Well, I guess it would have been good if I had had the Holy Spirit when I hit my thumb with that hammer. I guess it would have been good when I had that discussion I was sure I had to have, and I got it off my chest. Well, how many of you have been around long enough that you've heard me say what happens when you get things off your chest? I never yet in my life have heard one good thing happen after someone has gotten something off their chest. I'm just saying. But you got it off your chest, and now you wish the Holy Spirit had been with you. You know what? He was within you. But he was not ruling you in that moment. He was not in charge in that moment. Your will, your emotions, your mind may have been in charge. The Holy Spirit was not. And so if I am going to have a Spirit-directed, Spirit-led life, I'm going to have to recognize that the Holy Spirit is always there. He is always there. His power is always available to me. But it's very, very important that I get that thought more toward the front of my mind and less toward the back of my mind, that I have the recognition that that is available to me. So to pray continually, I say, means that God can often be present with me below the level of my consciousness. Now, just to clarify the record, that means that I can be praying while I'm driving down the road. That means that I can have a spirit and attitude of prayerfulness even as I watch a news bulletin on the TV. It's a challenge, but I can. It means that I do not enter into prayer, but I am always at that place where I can pray. It means that I don't have to necessarily work myself up to an attitude of prayerfulness and faith, that I can simply talk to God. Now, you might say it's absolutely impossible, but I have a few thoughts. I can worry continually, can't I? How many of you are worriers and will admit it? Worry isn't something that you have to work your way up into. Well, I think I probably ought to worry today. But I don't feel especially worried. I'm going to have to work myself into that place. I'm going to have to think about all of the things that could go wrong. I'm going to have to think about all of the people that might disappoint me. Going to have to think about the nasty things that might be said to me. And if I focus long enough on those things, maybe I'll find myself able to worry. No, I can worry continually without thinking any of those thoughts. I can just sort of have things stay right there and have my system kind of on go. I can obsess about something, can't I? How many of you occasionally, at least, are OCD? Hey. This could be interesting. Is there anyone here who thinks you might be the most OCD of anyone in this building right now? I saw a hand. Our church treasurer says that he is so OCD that he spells it CDO because he has to have the letters in the right order. You're welcome. Welcome, JB. Yeah, I can be obsessive. Did you know that about me? I can be obsessive. I can focus. I can focus like too much. I have nephews like that. I have nieces like that. It like runs in my family. I'm going to blame it on heredity because I can begin to focus on something and I cannot let go. I just have to get it resolved. It just stays right here. Okay, we're going to deal with this now and tomorrow and the day after and the day after that for every day of my life. I find it easy to worry and easy to obsess. I can have an anchor in my thoughts that consistently draws me back after a period of drift. Some things my mind just seems to gravitate back toward. And I ask the question, what will that anchor be? Do any of you ever complain to God about the way he made you? I was complaining to God a number of years ago about my obsessive nature. And God spoke to me. He said, I created you the way I did for a reason. So I'm saying that to you. God created you the way you are for a reason. But he didn't stop there. He said, choose your obsessions wisely. What am I going to think about obsessively? Choose your obsessions wisely. What is going to be the anchor in my thoughts that always seems to pull me back and pull me back and pull me back? Can I possibly choose what that anchor will be? Since God is always with me, I should keep myself in a condition that I am constantly prepared to talk to God, which in my mind means I need to keep my accounts short. You know how it is, something comes up in your life and you know that you need prayer, but you can't think of one good reason why God ought to answer your prayer because you know that you've been bad. You know you've been bad. And you think, God isn't going to like the fact that I'm about to come into prayer and I'm about to ask him for something when I haven't bothered talking to him for the last 3 weeks. I've got to get my account squared up with God. But actually, we ought to be doing that each moment of every day. I ever tell you about my cousin that thought he ought to get right with God? True story. Linda will bear a witness. He thought he ought to get right with God, and he had plenty of reason for thinking that he ought to get right with God. And he told me when I encouraged him, well, why don't we pray now? Well, I'm planning to get right with God this summer when I go to camp meeting. My answer, well, what if you don't get to camp meeting? And I kind of had an idea that if the moment passed, you know how that is, if the moment passed, it wasn't going to come back around. I think that I need to keep myself in a place, to the very best of my ability, where I'm not letting sin or shortcoming accumulate in my life. I'm not allowing that. I'm dealing with things as I need to deal with them, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. If I feel that I've disappointed God, I need to talk to God about it now, the moment I have the realization. I can't be waiting for a Bible meeting, waiting for a camp meeting, waiting for a good Sunday, waiting for a good sermon. Well, Lord, I just had a thought. Well, Lord, I'll get right with you when the preacher preaches a good sermon. And God in heaven. That might never happen. So, focusing on living life in this moment. Since God is always with me, I should respond immediately with conscious prayer whenever the Holy Spirit prompts me. I think it was Tom Nixon. Tom, good to see you. I think it was Tom Nixon that reminded me of that maybe 3 years ago. I'd mentioned that in a message, that there are just times that we need to stop right at the moment and have prayer. Then he ended up over at my house working on the furnace, and we had a situation, and he reminded me, maybe we ought to pray right now. And I appreciated that reminder. That's what brothers and sisters in the body of Christ do for each other, to strengthen each other as we help each other when we forget. And so I should respond immediately, as I say, with conscious prayer. And I ought to pray at regular intervals throughout the day so that thoughts of God are intentionally being introduced to my mind. I think I've mentioned to you before a fellow named Adrian Dupre preached that message maybe 20 years ago back in Grant, Michigan, and I heard him preach it. And he made a very simple suggestion. You can decide to pray every time you drive by a particular house or building on your way to or from work. When you see it, it reminds you, pray. That's your prayer building. You actually can do it so that if a particular sound is heard, you know, if you live in Pulaski, the bells ring every once in a while. And I know how it is. After a while, you don't even really hear them. But you can train yourself so that if you hear a bell or if you hear a train whistle or if you hear an advertisement commercial on TV, that is your cue to pray. Wouldn't that be good if every time a commercial came on, your mind automatically went to prayer? You don't want to see that thing anyway. No, there are things that happen repeatedly and recurringly throughout our days. And so that becomes a regular part of your life of prayer, that reminder to go into the presence of God. You could do that every time the phone rings. Better that than taking the call. No, just sometimes. Any of you ever on your cell phones have these numbers show up and you look at it and it's like from New Zealand or something? Oh, yeah, I'm going to take that call. Telemarketer. Yeah, they spoof their numbers. But I suppose you could use that as an opportunity of prayer. The point being that if you can worry, you can pray. If you can obsess, you can pray. You can take most anything that happens on a regular basis in your life and attach prayer to it. And then you're choosing to pray, you're praying intentionally, and when you are going constantly into the presence of God, and you are being reminded continually that He is there and that He is within you and that His power is there and His power is within you, then you have a spiritual power that you otherwise do not have, and you can experience the joy that you ought to experience. You can, in those times, find yourself giving thanks. Because when I actually think about God, it's always a good thing. God has never disappointed me. He's never let me down. He has never been anything other than very good to me, far better than I deserve. How many of you would agree with me? God's been better to you than what you deserve. You know what I deserve from God? Hell. Right now. And God hasn't given that to me. He's given me grace and forgiveness and joy and peace and love and all of those things. I just keep falling in love with God all over again. I'd like you to stand with me. See, prayer is how I interact with the spiritual world. And without prayer, my mind and my heart would be chronically divided. My heart would pull me in one direction, and my mind would take me in a different direction. And then I would find myself at a place all the time where I have internal strain and internal conflict. And I would wear myself down and wear myself out with the battle going on between those two things, those two realities and two worlds. That's what happens with some of us. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would just recognize your greatness and your goodness, that we would so experience your grace, that we would continually be drawn into your presence. And I pray that you would help us to live our spiritual lives much more intentionally, that rather than wait until some strange circumstance would introduce you to our mind, that we would allow our very daily living and the rhythms of it to control entering into the presence of God and reconnecting with you, and that the periods between those connections would be so incredibly short. I thank you, Lord, for all you have done. Thank you for all that you're planning to do. And I just ask that the constant steadiness of your Spirit would fall on everyone here, that they would actually experience that, not just hear the words, the blah, 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 but that it would be reality. Thank you, Lord, for that. Is there anyone who wants to come and just pray right now before we go? Maybe God's asking you to reconnect. Just revisit. Lord, thank you for your many blessings, and please allow us to be blessings to others throughout the remainder of this day. In your name.